In Bhajan Rahasyam class, October 27th, this is Astamayam Sadhana, Ashushiva Paravatam Parashtamam Darshanam Mamatam Karutavam. We're discussing the word meanings of the actual verse, the eighth verse of Shikshastakam. Ashushiva Paravatam Parashtamam, Ashushimam Paravatam. Now this word is Paravatam. This means attachment or dedication to his feet. A maid servant's attachment to the service of Krishna's lotus feet. Pararatam. Prati means attachment. And para means feet. So pararatam. Asushiva pararatam panashtamam. So the maid servant, how much attached they are to the service of Krishna's lotus feet. And the analogy that's given, of course, I've seen birds like this in Radhakund, and I don't know. They seem like they're sparrows. There's some bird called Chataka and Chataki. Chataki, of course, is female, and Chataka is male, of the same species. And they're little birds. They're actually a type of sparrow, but they're even smaller than what we call these little brown sparrows, birds. And I'm not sure they're Chatakis, but when it's raining, when it's cloudy and it looks like it's going to rain, there's many of these little birds I've seen flying in the sky, very little, very small. And I'm thinking maybe they're Chataki. And the Chataki bird, the speciality of that bird is that he, although there may be groundwater lying somewhere, or like you saw that pigeon comes down and drinks water from this pond, flower, lily pond, or from bird bath or Radhakund, there may be standing water in a river or lake or pool, but the Chataki won't take that water. Because he has speciality, he only drinks water from the rainfall. How he exists when there's no rainfall, that I don't know. But this is the description, that he drinks water. I guess he has a good big tank, big water tank, and that holds him over. I don't know. Many things are beyond the understanding. But this bird, because he has this particular characteristic, he is often used to describe the devotee who is waiting for the downburst of Krishna's mercy, the cloudburst of Krishna's mercy to rain on him. And because the Chataki bird, he flies in the sky, and he's just looking at the clouds, because that's his source of life. If the clouds give water, he drinks and he lives. If the clouds don't give water, he doesn't drink and he dies. But he won't look anywhere else for water, only to the cloud. So that's Ganasham. Ganasham, Gana means rus, and sham means that black bag full of rus, that cloud. Ganasham, like we say, what is that sugarcane juice is called? Ganaras, isn't it? Very thick and condensed sweetness. So this rain cloud, monsoon cloud, is his source of life. So he's looking there and praying, oh, please open up and give me some water. But now the rain cloud, he's a very special person. He may open up and give water to the Chataki, or he may throw a thunderbolt. He may throw a lightning bolt and kill the Chataki. Because in the rainy season, you know, choom, lightning bolts come also, not only rain. Fire and rain, interesting. Lightning bolt is fire. So these are opposites. One destroys the other. So the monsoon season brings fire and rain. The rain sustains, the fire destroys. The Chataki bird can be sustained by the rain or destroyed by the bolt, the lightning bolt. So he's just praying. Oh, you're praying to me for water? Okay, take that. So the devotee, he's simply, Krishna, you're my everything. Whether you trample me or whatever, I'm just looking at you, I'm depending on you. You give me water, I live. Or you starve me or dehydrate me, I die. You can crush me by your embrace or break my heart by not feeding me, not giving me anything. But the devotees are that dedicated. They're as dedicated like the Chataki bird. A Chataki bird, he drinks water from the clouds. So Rupa Goswami uses this example to show how the devotee should always be waiting in expectation of the rainwater or downpour of Krishna's love and no other love. So in other words, everyone thrives on love. Every living entity needs some attention, some love, some affection, some care. Especially the human beings. They're extremely emotionally hungry entities. So they require a good amount of emotional fulfillment, for a lack of a better word, love, care. And we look for that care or love in other humans. We're humans and we look for other humans. And if we can't find a human to give us that care or that love or affection, then we look to an animal. Prabhupada uses this analogy. If you can't find someone to love, then you love the dog. And you give the dog a name, Fifi, or Fifi the French poodle. Oh, Fifi, and you walk everywhere with the dog, and you buy a little sweater for him in the winter, and make special food for him, and you take him to the poodle shop, French poodle shop, and get his hair shampooed. And then they cut it in little fancy ways, and looks like little balls and stuff. And sometimes you buy a diamond necklace for Fifi. I've seen in New York on Fifth Avenue. On Fifth Avenue, Madison Avenue, New York, all these rich people. And the French poodle's wearing a 5 lakh necklace. Sounds like Krishna's Malihari Leela, where he was begging pearls from the gopis so he could make pearl necklaces for the cows. And then he grew his own pearls. You know that Leela? Moti Leela, what's it called? Malihari Leela, whatever. The pearl story, it's called Mukta Charita by Raghunath Das Goswami. Then Krishna planted pearls and he grew so many of his own pearls. He was making hundreds of necklaces. Krishna made so many pearl necklaces that he was putting pearl necklaces on the dogs, on the monkeys, on the birds, of course on the cows firstly. And the gopis, the word was going around, the gopis were saying, this is ridiculous. He's offering pearl necklaces to the monkeys. And the monkeys think they're chickpeas. And they just bite them off their neck and start biting on them and spitting them out. And we go to Krishna and beg him for a few pearls to make a necklace. Hey, get out from here. You wouldn't give me any pearls when I beg some pearls. You go grow your own pearls. But you're giving them to the monkeys. I mean, the monkeys mean more to you than we do. And Krishna said, that's right. The monkeys mean more to me than you. So we have to love someone. If we don't love Krishna, then we'll love a dog. If we don't love God, we love the dog. D-O-G-G-O-D, right? That's our nature. So the devotee, he's not looking to anyone in this world for love. He doesn't depend on anyone in this world. He's dependent on Krishna. This is Sharanagati. One of the symptoms of Sharanagati is dependence. Goptatve varanam tata. Goptatve varanam tata. That I accept varanam tata, that Krishna is my maintainer. I'm dependent on Krishna, no one else. If he wants to give me water, he will. If he doesn't, he won't. This is a devotee, he just looks there. Krishna, I depend on you. You want to strike me down by not taking care of me like a thunderbolt on a chatiki bird's head? Then you do it. Or if you want to drench me and drown me in a torrential downpour of monsoon rains of mercy and nectar and love and kindness, then that's your prerogative, that's your free will. My mouth is ever open. My eyes are always fixed on you and not looking askance to the left or the right. I'm riveted, my vision is riveted on your lotus feet. I'm just a beggar. I'm begging and crying for your mercy and your mercy alone. Kabhi habi bolo se dinamar. When will that day come? I don't know. It's in your hand. You're the player. You're the master card dealer. And I'm simply sitting in the circle of players. You're dealing the cards. Our attitude of surrender should be like the chatika bird. Our eyes are always fixed upward, praying for rain. I think that's Srila Prabhupada's mood. Srila Prabhupada was that chatika bird. Srila Prabhupada was that transcendental chatika bird who walked amongst us. Because if you ever saw Srila Prabhupada, his head was always like this. Right? It's classic. His head was always up. Prabhupada, of course, he was the Kripambuddhi. He was the ocean of mercy. Vaishnava Kripambodhi. He was looking up like a Chatika bird. So Chatika bird is not looking at the ground. There's so much water on the ground. There's so much water on the ground. He can look. The Chatika bird can look this way, like the pigeon comes to the ground. The water's on the ground. He takes the water. The Chatika bird is not looking here and there on the ground for water. Only his eyes are fixed upward. His gaze is only upward. So Prabhupada was moving in this world, but his eyes were not in this world. His heart was not in this world. His glance is up. So he's looking up to Krishna, as the Chatika bird looks up to the cloud, waiting for the rain to fall. The rain of life, the rain of sustenance, the rain of mercy. So we feel that in this analogy of Prabhupada appearing like the Chatika, he was looking up to the Lord, to Ghanashyam, Sri Krishna, and petitioning the Lord on behalf of us. He's saying, "Oh my Lord, oh, please rain your mercy on my students. Please pour down your life-giving nectarine waters to nourish their creepers of bhakti." And we're all, Prabhupada has given us that bhakti lata. Without rain, it dies. Without sunshine, it dies. So the sunshine is the katha, and the rain is the mercy. The Prabhupada is like looking up like a Chatika bird, praying for the rain. So whether Krishna, so we should be like that also, Chatika birds. Whether Krishna extends his gracious hand to us or not, it is our duty to always surrender unto him. The word pada, padaratta, means, indicates humility, which is the mood which Radha speaks this entire verse. The duty of a maidservant is to please the Lord of her life with her service. Therefore Radha is saying, "O Prananath, I am a maidservant at your feet, O Sri Krishna. However, there is no question of my rejecting you. My only duty is to make you happy in all circumstances." This is Ashtamayam Sadhana, chapter 8 of Vajrahasyam. And this Padaratam, these two words, Ashlishivam and Padaratam Panashtamam, are described here. This is from Gopi Geet. Krishna's pleasure is the only concern of the gopis. So Padaratam, the maidservant's only care is to please Krishna. This is one of the symptoms of Mahabhava. This is from 10:31:19. I think we mentioned this verse somewhere else in this book also. In Gopi Geet. I think this is the last verse of Gopi Geet. Yate sujata charanam buruham staneshu bita shane priya tadimahi karkasheshu tenatavim atasitad vyatate nakim swit kurpadi bir ramatik dir bhavadayusham na. And gopis are saying, "O beloved Krishna, your beautiful feet are even softer than a lotus." Sujata charanam buruham staneshu. When we massage those soft, tender lotus feet, we fearfully and very slowly and gently place them on our breasts in such a way that our hard breasts may give no pain to your tender, soft feet. With those same feet, those same tender, soft, butter-like feet, you're wandering behind the cows in the deep forest. Won't your lotus feet become pierced by sharp stones and all those prickers and stickers out there? We become very anxious just to think about this. Oh, Prananath, you are our very life. Please stop wandering in the forest. Can't you get someone else to do that? Don't do this. Please come and appear again before us. Tamara charanam bhujaye karkashasthane savadane dari sake Klesha bita mane, se para kamalevane kurpadira tuka, haya pache shankakari nahi pai suka. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has put the same verse in Bengali. Savadan dari sake. Oh, friend, be careful. Be very careful. Klesha bita. Our minds are being full of klesh. You know, klesh, adhyatmika klesh, misery, suffering. We're very fearful and miserable situation thinking about this. Se para kamale vane kurpadir dukha. those Kamalapad, those beautiful lotus feet. Of course, Vishwanath, the purport is given here from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It concludes by saying, this is the commentary of Vishwanath. So in this commentary, Vishwanath is expressing a deep separation, suffering a deep separation from Krishna, the Braja Gopis. So this is Padaratam, their intense attachment to his service, Krishna's service, and his lotus feet. They're very anxious for Krishna's happiness. Of course, this is the true symptom of love. That one, someone might say, "Oh, I want you to be happy." This is love. Love means I want to please you. I want to see you happy at all costs. I want to see you comfortable, satisfied, fulfilled. No matter what, anything I can do, I want to make sure that you're happy and satisfied. That's my aim and objective of my life. This is the meaning of love, real love. But that's one level. But another level is not only to feel like that and think like that, but to be really anxious about it and just be all the time worried and thinking and acting in such a way and full of anxiety about it. And this is the gopis. That's why it's called desperation. They're very desperate about it because they're, in one sense, they're overreacting. They're overreacting to the situation. And even Krishna has to explain it because Mother Yashoda feels the same way. She knows how tender, soft Krishna's feet are because she bathes Krishna. And she's her baby. So she knows that his feet are extremely, extremely soft and tender. And she says the same thing. "Oh, Krishna, can't you wear shoes? Every day you're going behind the cows in the forest, can't you wear shoes?" Then Krishna says, "Oh, Janani, oh Maya, I don't mind wearing shoes under one condition. Because if you want me to wear shoes, then my mother also has to wear shoes. And I have 900,000 mothers. So if you're going to get shoes made for me, then you have to make shoes for my 900,000 mothers. You have to make shoes for all my cows. So they have 4 feet instead of two. So 900,000 shoes for 900,000 mothers, that means 1.8 million pairs of shoes. Right? 900,000 times two, because they have 4 feet, not two. Yes? That's a lot of shoes. So by the time the shoemaker finishes all those shoes, Krishna will be off the planet. Krishna's Braja Leela will be over, so then so he defeated his mother on that one. So then she said, "All right, but nevertheless, I'm worried, because I'm really anxious, I'm really worried because these footpaths, they're not the Autobahn, and it's not a freeway. I mean, it's just a little narrow path here and there through the forest, through the jungle, and there's so many stones and stickers and all these little burrs and thorns that we all find out about when you come to Vrindavan. I'm sure everyone's feet has been introduced to these various obstacles, thorns and stickers and the like." Man, Krishna says, no, you don't understand. You don't understand, Maya. You're walking around the palace and you've never actually gone out. Have you ever gone to Kamyavan? Have you ever gone to Kokilavan? Have you ever gone to Bajravan, Bailvan? You don't know. You really don't know. That the forest path, this is what happens. First of all, the Chamari deer, they have very long tails. You heard of Chamara? The Chamari deer, they walk in front of me every morning and they sweep all the footpaths with their tails. And that's the first thing. So there are no thorns there or stickers or sharp stones or little pebbles or anything. And moreover, when I start playing my flute to collect all the cows and keep them in a peaceful mood while we're moving here and there through the forest, when the various trees and latas entwining those trees, when they hear this beautiful dulcet music of the notes, the sweet notes of my flute, they become ecstatic. They become so joyful that the trees start to tremble. And when the trees tremble, then they feel that is expressing their ecstasy. But not only do they tremble, they start to cry because they feel so rejoiced that I have returned to them. Because all night long, they were so sad. All their branches were hanging down. All their leaves were just limp and wilted. And all the flowers were closed. And they were feeling so much sad in my separation during the night. And when I return the next day with all the cows and boys and play on my flute, they feel so thrilled and ecstatic that all the leaves look open up and look fresh and stand up straight, all the flowers blossom, and all the nectar in the flowers starts to run down the branches, and all the bees in the beehives, they're so ecstatic that they're dancing around the beehives. And when those trees are trembling in ecstasy to hear my flute, then all the honey gets rattled. The honey in those beehives gets rattled and starts pouring down the branches and pouring down the trunk of the tree in constant golden streams. Beautiful golden streams of the sweetest, softest honey flows down the branches of the trees. And this is expression of their tears of joy flowing upon hearing my flute and seeing me. Again, having my darshan after a long night's absence. And then honey flows down the trunks of the trees and oozes onto the footpaths and mixes in with the dirt. And it becomes wonderful. So Krishna's telling Janani, Mata, Mother, I don't feel any difficulty. And I'm walking on these footpaths, and they're not dry. They're not even, what to speak of, no thorns and no stickers and no sharp stones or pebbles. They're not even dry and dusty. We know we go here and there, and we're walking on Govardhan Parikamarg, and someone comes by with a car, and all the big smoke clouds come in our face, and can't even breathe or see or anything. Our buses go by, and it's so dusty and so dry, our feet just crack off. In the wintertime, all chilblains and cracks in our feet. Krishna says, there's not even any dust. You see, the shop owners are always sprinkling water in front of their shops to keep the dust down. On the roads, they sprinkle water. And all the footpaths are so full of, suffused with this honey, that there's no dust to my feet. I'm just walking on a mixture of dried cow dung powder mixed with the earth and the honey from the trees. I'm just walking through this. It's very, very soft and very, very pleasant. At the end of the day, when I come back, my feet are as soft as they were 8 hours before when I went out for cow herding. Because the whole day I was getting honey emollient. My feet were being rubbed and massaged with honey the whole time I was walking around the forest paths. This is what I'm experiencing, Mother. Don't you know? Why are you so worried? Well, this is how Krishna tried to comfort Mother Yashoda. Another point is described that yes, there are thorns there on the footpath. And yes, there are sharp stones and there are burrs and stickers. And the gopis see them when they walk and they know that they're there. And that's why they're so worried that Krishna's feet are so soft and these thorns and stickers are there, so surely they may hurt his feet. But now something else happens. Yogamaya, Krishna's Yogamaya Shakti, has arranged for all these thorns and everything there to increase the gopis' attachment in Krishna's feet and their worry and their desperation for Krishna. Now when Krishna walks and they're seeing, yes, I saw Krishna's walking, I saw the thorns with my own eyes and the stickers and sharp glass-like pieces of stone, very sharp edges. And the gopis see that and then Krishna steps on them. But by Yogamaya's arrangement, when Krishna steps on the thorn just turns into like rubber. The thorn, the gopis see a thorn, but when Krishna's foot is coming down, then that thorn just goes, just becomes like a blade of grass. It transforms. Because everything is the entire terra firma, the entire land of Vrindavan is nothing but Sandini Shakti. Sandini Shakti is Balaram's expansion to serve Krishna's pleasure pastimes. Ananda Shakti. The Sandini Shakti. So this is all the different levels of these pastimes. So here the gopis are describing that Vishnu is saying that the gopis are in anxiety. They're in great anxiety for Krishna's happiness, and that's evident in these words. The gopis who are covered by calm, that is their love for Krishna, they tried hard to conceal their love, but because it flows so quickly, it was revealed. The gopis suffer in their hearts at the thought of Krishna coming to harm or being injured by these thorns and stones in the footpath. This is the characteristic of the gopis Mahabhav. only the gopis are so experienced in this sorrow or this unhappiness of separation from their prana priyatam. And only the gopis are experienced in the happiness of meeting him. So no one loves Krishna as much as the Braja gopis, the damsels of Braj. And no one is more surrendered to him or dedicated to him than them. So they feel the greatest happiness in union with him, and they feel the greatest sadness in separation from him. The gopis, in the previous text 14, the gopis expressed how much trouble they felt by the pain caused to Krishna's lotus feet. So again, they're mentioning it here in this text. When Krishna roams here and there in the daytime herding cows, in the daytime when Krishna's wandering on the footpaths, he can easily see where he's going. As when we walk in the daytime on Govardhan Prick, and we're looking at all these stones and bricks and this and that, and we try to avoid them. Sometimes we make it all the way around, 4 or 5 hours around the Govardhan, and our feet come in clean, photo finish. And we give a checkered flag to our feet, and we thank them very dearly and give them a good scrub and rub and thank them for carrying us around the Govardhan without any injuries, bumps, scratches, or bruises. When we go at night on Parikrama, then we can't see, and we usually get a few good digs and some other sort of things happen. So that's what the gopis are thinking. All right, during the day, Krishna can easily protect himself from the stone chips, thorns, and sharp blades of grass and whatnot. But on the Yamuna bank, walking on the footpaths in Yamuna at night, especially in Amavasya when there's not even the faintest moonlight, then he can't see these things. So they're thinking of this. That's what the gopis are thinking of. Because he's going to come and meet them for the Abhisar. And he's not going to be walking down these footpaths. He's going to be running. And his eyes are not going to be on the ground. His eyes are on the kunj. His eyes are on the jyoti. He's running through the darkness, waiting to see the first faint light of Radha's jyoti. Radha Kanti. The effulgence of Radharani's heart emanating from her body, Mahabhav Sarupini Radha. So her Mahabhav Kanti, her Mahabhav Jyoti, illuminates the forest with an incredibly beautiful hue, which is far more attractive, soothing, compelling, and satisfying than a million moonlights the light of a million moons put together, full moons put together. So when Krishna's running to meet Radharani, then it's dark, it's all dark. He's just going like a homing pigeon. They have these pigeons called homing pigeons. And you take them, and then they live in this home, and then you take them in a cage and take them in a car and go 500 miles away. And you let them out of the car. Then they'll go up in the air like this, and they'll fly back 500 miles to the home that they live in. It's called homing pigeons. So that's why they're used for messages. They train and they tie a message around their leg. The Greeks used to do this 2,000-3,000 years ago. This was the original SMS message, original courier message. They tied a little message around a leg, and they were trained. They said, okay, somehow they were trained to fly 500 miles. They would go to some other palace, from Athens to Rome or whatever, and then they would come back. So Krishna knows his way to the kunj. He knows blindfolded. He knows his way. So he goes there, and it's totally dark. It's Amavasya, dark moon night. He can't see anything, and he's running, and there's no light anywhere. So the gopis are worried about this. He's going to step on these sharp stone chips or thorns. And they're worried, what's going to happen to his feet? And when Krishna's just running, he knows the general direction, then he's waiting, there. Because there's so many kunjas on the bank of the Jamuna. And Nidhiman Seva Kunj here and there, many kunjas. So which one is Radharani in? So then he sees, where is the more intense light coming from? Just like here, or you go sometimes, if you're out in the country somewhere, coming to a big city, you see how you're in the dark in a country roads, and you're coming to a city, but it's very light. There's so much light around the city. Street lights and other things emanating so much light. So the kunja where Radharani's in is emanating so much attractive light. Like the firefly runs to the fire. There's some fire or some brilliant light, and that these little moths, they fly right in there and lose themselves. So Krishna's like that, like a firefly. Firefly, like those, they fly into the bright lights or fly into some fire. They see the fire, and they zoop, and burn up their wings. A Krishna is like a firefly running into the Prem Kanti or Prem Effulgence of Radharani. He gets consumed by her love. And that's his very existence. Rupa Goswami prays in Nectar Devotion that says, Kaishara Safala Rati Krida. Says that Krishna made his youthful years fruitful or successful by enjoying conjugal pastimes with Radharani in the Kunjas of Vrindavan. This one verse in Nectar Devotion. Krishna Safala. No, Krishna Kaishara Safala Ratri Krita Nikunja May Jamuna something. This is the fruit of his youth. This is the perfection of his youth. What did he do? Did he go to school, get a degree, and use his youthful energies? No. The Safa means complete fruit. The fruit of his youthful years was to enjoy intimately with Radharani in the Kunjas of Vrindavan. This is our God. This is our Krishna. They're worried about Krishna. So thinking about this, gopis' hearts are melting, and they're expressing their distress in this verse from Gopi Geet. Brinda Devi, she's a Leela Shakti. This is her Leela Shakti's her purview. She makes a lot of elaborate arrangements to fulfill Krishna's pastimes on the bank of the Yamuna. So she's very careful to sweep all the footpaths and make everything nice. All the chamari deer we mentioned, they're working for her. All the birds and peacocks and parrots and animals and deer, they're all working for Brinda Devi. She is the goddess of the forest, Brinda, Vrindavan. And she arranges all the leelas are all in the forest. The leelas aren't in the malls. Krishna doesn't have leelas in cinema halls. He doesn't have leelas in cinema halls and malls and shopping centers and high-rise buildings. He has leelas in the forest. Vrindavan, Brinda Devi. And she's making all the arrangements for the leelas. All the proper fruits and vegetables, all the proper necklaces, all the proper places, leela stands, and proper water, proper moisture, proper temperature, proper winds, everything she's arranging. And proper person, who's invited and who's not invited. The invitations, Brinda Devi gives out the invitations. Nevertheless, even though the gopis know that Brinda Devi is a very expert choreographer, Leela choreographer, and arranger and producer of Krishna's pastimes, like we have producers of movies and arrangers, still the gopis are worried. And that's the effect of prema. Praja prema makes, that's the nature of love. A mother loves her child, so she just worries all the time. The more she loves her child, the more she worries. That's the measurement of her love. Ask any mother in the audience. Any mothers there? If you have any children, if you don't love your child much, you don't worry. I don't worry about my kid, because you don't love him. If you love your kid, then you're, oh, where is he now? Hey, why didn't you call at 8 o'clock? Now it's 10 o'clock. Why didn't you call? It's been 2 hours you haven't called. All right already, you know. I mean, Mom, give me a break. No, I'm worried about you. No, I'm in the same place I was 2 hours ago. No, I know, but are you sitting in the same chair or did you sit in another chair? I'm worried that you went to another chair and it's not as good as the first chair. You know? So they're really worried about everything. Yes, I'm coming home at 11 o'clock. How are you coming home? Oh, I don't know, bus, this, that, whatever I get. No, I'm worried. Now you no, this, that, and it goes on and on and on and on. 1,000 questions, 1,000 worries, 1,000 arrangements. And this is love. So-called love. Imagine the gopis, how much they're worried about Krishna. Afflicted by prema, the gopis pray, O life-giving Shamsundar, like beautifully blossoming lotus flowers, your reddish lotus feet, which are endowed with beautiful fragrance and sweetness, they take away any kind of suffering. But now, that's very interesting, your lotus feet, which are so tender and so red and so beautiful like lotus flowers, they're cooling, they're attractive, they're sweet, they're nourishing. If anyone meditates on your lotus feet, they become protected. If anyone meditates on your lotus feet, they become nourished, and their hearts become sweetened by that meditation, and they become sheltered there. And they become free. Anyone who's suffering mentally, has mental difficulties, or agitation, or disturbance, if he fixes the feet of Krishna in his mind, that's a sure panacea for all mental disturbances or emotional deficiencies. So satisfying and fulfilling are Krishna's feet. Charan Dhyan, Rup Dhyan of Krishna's lotus feet. And the gopis are playing on this, saying, your feet are like that, but now those same feet which remove all the suffering of yogis and anyone who thinks of those feet are causing us suffering. See the paradox. Your feet, which are the cause of removing anyone else's suffering, those same feet are causing us, they are the source of our suffering. One man's food is another man's poison. We have an expression in English. One man's food is another man's poison. If someone has typhoid, and you give him pakoras, you'll kill him. He can't digest the grease, typhoid. There's no digestive power. You give him 20 pakoras, he'll be dead. Well, if you give our friend in the audience, a healthy brahmachari, you give him 20 pakoras, he'll be all right. Give me some more. He'll be happy. He's healthy. So one man's food is another man's poison. So the same feet are removing suffering, but for the gopis, they can't sleep. They're worried. Oh, this, that. They mitigate any suffering. But now we're worried that your feet must be suffering. And we're suffering. We're worried that your feet, which take away suffering, your feet are suffering from those stones and thorns. And we're suffering. So just see, your feet, which take away everyone else's feet, suffering. Now we think that your feet are suffering. Your feet are suffering. And then that thought is causing us suffering. That's very interesting. Your reddish feet must now be suffering from injuries caused by stones and sharp grass and so forth as you roam from forest to forest. And now we're suffering in sadness because of this thought. Hearing this is in Sartha Darshini. Hearing this, Krishna might reply, oh, come on. Come on. Come on, Sakis. Come on. What realization do you have of my suffering? As we've often heard Prabhupada say that we can understand our own sufferings, but no one can understand another person's suffering. You can't understand what I'm going through. We say, oh, it's okay, don't be... But we really don't know how intense someone else is suffering. The Krishna says, what do you know about my suffering? How do you understand? And the gopis say in this verse, we know! Priya karkasheshu staneshu ambita shaner dadimahi. We have experience of your feet. We know very, very well. Oh, beloved Priya, we consider you to be non-different from our bodies, and you're the very life of our lives. Yet how can we place your supremely beautiful, tender lotus feet on our hard breast? Listen for a moment. Bita Shane. We place them very, very slowly and gently on our breasts so that you will not feel any pain at all. Now, when you voluntarily go out in the forest and you're causing pain to those same feet, that's why we're drowning in an ocean of sorrow. Then Krishna replies, oh, gopis, I think you're Madana Brahm. Madan Brahm. I think you're overwhelmed by Cupid, Madan. And you're completely disturbed and agitated by Cupid. And why do you want to place if my feet are so soft, then why do you want to place them on your hard breast? And Gopi say, oh Priya, you are our beloved. And the only duty of a lover is to increase the beloved's happiness. Placing your lotus feet on our breasts gives you supreme pleasure. We know that. And if you are happy, we are too. For this reason, we want to place your feet there. But as soon as we remember the softness, then our hearts melt and we become worried. Krishna says, oh, gopis, you're like mad. You should all perform some austerities to please God. And then you should pray to Him. Oh, Creator, if you are pleased by our execution of this tapasya, these austerities, and please fulfill our desire. Please make our breasts very soft and tender. Obviously, Krishna is making a joke. No? And the gopis reply, all right, Shyam, we're ready to undergo and perform this austerity. But there is one consideration. If our breasts become soft, you still may not be pleased. And if they are hard, they will cause you pain. There's a big dilemma here, a big problem. It's a lose-lose situation. We are unable to determine what to do and what not to do. You, however, behave the same way you treat your feet, mercilessly. You're being merciless to your feet, and now you're being merciless to us. Then Krishna says, Gopis, what are you raving about? What are you saying anyway? You're just raving, ranting, this, that, other thing, crazy talk. Oh, Shamsundar, we cannot pacify our hearts. We can't calm our hearts at all. You're driving us crazy. And Krishna says, why? Why is that? Why do you suffer so much? Where is your affection for me? What is the proof? What are the symptoms of your affection? If the lover is unable to remain alive when the beloved is suffering severely, how is it then you're still alive? He's challenging them and testing their love. If you say you love me so much and you're suffering, then how come you didn't just give up, fade off and die off? And the Gopi said, Bhavad Ayusham, you are our Ayur, you are our life. Although we have endured much hardship, our lives have not ended. Then with loving anger, the Gopis continued, O Shamsundar, not only are you being cruel to us, but the Creator has given us a very long life only to make us suffer more and more. So this is Vishnu's commentary on this verse, which brings out some of the incredible sweetness of the exchanges between Radha and Krishna at this level of Mahabhav. Everything the gopis are saying and all their intentions and actions are simply to churn the ocean of love and create newer and newer waves of pleasure and satisfaction for Krishna to ride on and to relish and taste as he floats and submerges in the deep depths of their intense love for him. This is verse 16. This is about Padaratam. Vinashaya, what is it? Ashlishiva Padaratam. This explains something from this verse 16. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sees this as an explanation of Padaratam. This verse from Gopi Gita shows the level of the rati, or the attachment that the Braja Gopis have for Krishna's feet. Of course, we can only pray that we can have a drop of that attachment for Krishna's feet, remembering them, serving them, and being worried about them. The Gopis are worried about Krishna, so we should think, oh, what time is it now? Oh, now it's Purvan Leela. It's 8:36 in the morning. And from 8:36, Krishna begins his Gocharan Leela. And he's going out behind the cows. And now he's going to wander on those footpaths and all those stones and stone chips and thorns and stickers will be there. And his feet are so tender and soft. We become worried. This is called being Taratmika with the gopis. We should worry like they worry and feel suffering and enter into their moods and how much attachment they have for those lotus feet. And we pray that some drop of their premic attachment, or the prem rati, their intense attachment, padaratam panashtamam, their intense attachment for Krishna's lotus feet will come in our minds.